Glory to God. Put your hand on your Bible. Put your Bible in your hand. Say this after me. This is my Bible. It is the living Word of God. I believe every word of it. It has every answer I need. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. I am a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I receive the word today with gladness and obedience. Well, say amen. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will. We have been talking about the kingdom of God. We've spent several weeks in Matthew 13 looking at each of the individual parables that Yeshua taught about how the kingdom of God works. In fact, he said that if you don't understand the first parable, the parable of the sower, how do you think you're going to understand any of the parables of the Word of God? That the seed is being sown in your life, and if you're good ground, the seed will produce. It's all the ground. The Word of God's going to come forth today. It is going to alter and change lives. Whether it alters and changes your life is up to you. So turn to somebody and say, well, it's going to change my life. Amen. Get your ground prepared. Get ready to receive things from God. Amen. I'll tell you, God's got us on a journey and a destination. Amen. And we've talked about that kingdom. And last week, I think the Holy Spirit led us very powerfully to refresh us again that kingdom is here and now. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're not talking about getting born again. If you're not born again, you need to. You need to choose life instead of death. You've got to get on the right track with God. But once you're born again, my question is, what happens to your life? Do you become a victor or do you become a victim? Are you on top or are you underneath? Are you a winner for Christ or are you defeated in the battle? Are you the head only and not the tail, as Deuteronomy says we're going to be? See, there is a kingdom of God right here and now, and we need to learn how to walk in it right here and now. There is a life that you can live. You can make choices so that you live a life where you're above only. Every circumstance in your life is simply that. It's a circumstance through which you go. You go, as the Scripture says, through the fire, but you don't even have the smell of smoke. Come on. You go through the flood, but it doesn't overwhelm you. You're not going to be immune from the challenges of life when you step into the kingdom of God. You're just going to have the greater one working in you so that you overcome them. You lock your wings of faith in like the eagle, and when the storm hits, it just carries you higher and higher and higher and higher, where suddenly it looks like that junk of the earth is so far below you that it no longer even bothers you. Can you say amen to that? We need to find out some things about what our position is in the kingdom. What our position is in the kingdom. You know, when I became a Christian at the age of 16, I was just glad to be on my way to heaven. I was just glad that someone told me, listen, you're going to church, but you've missed God. I went to a church. I was a little acolyte in the church. I went. I lit the candles and did all the great things that little kids do in a liturgical church. But I didn't know God. And someone got hold of my life and pointed out in front of me what it meant to have Yeshua as Lord of your life. And that changed my entire destiny. And I now had a ticket that said, go to heaven, go straight to heaven, bypass jail. Amen. I'm going straight for that. And it was great. And so I kind of set my eyes on Canaan land, set my eyes on way out there and kind of put up with everything that was going on here. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know whose I was. I had fire insurance. And my fire insurance policy said at the end of life, I don't go to hell, I get to go to heaven. And what a great theology except for one thing. I was defeated. I didn't know how to live life here. I didn't know how to be a victor. I didn't know how to... that the Word of God was in favor of my success. I thought God was mad at me, just watching me closely, ready to bat me across the side of the head whenever I misstepped. And I needed someone to come and share the Word of God with me to say, who are you in the kingdom of God? Who are you, child of God? I grew up in a denomination where, you know, the preachers always told us, well, you know, we're all sinners. I found out one day that nowhere does the Bible call a born-again child of God a sinner. I didn't say you don't sin. Glory to God, we have a remedy for sin, 1 John 1:9. But the Bible nowhere calls a believer a sinner. It calls you the righteousness of God in Christ. That's your title. You are a saint. A set-apart one. Now, you may not be living like one. Shame on you. Amen. Amen. But that you may be a child who's in the pigsty. Get out of the pigsty, for Pete's sakes. I mean, you know, what are you doing in the pigsty if when you're a child of the Most High God and Abba's waiting to bring you back? So you can be living in the pigsty, but if you're His child, you're His child. Amen? That's who you are. But we need to find out what our calling and destiny is in the kingdom of heaven. Have you found 1 Timothy chapter 6? Let's begin at verse 11. But you, man of God, how many of you know that includes all of you? Otherwise, we're just reading a book about Timothy. It's a letter to Timothy, but it's addressed to all of us. Amen? But you, man of God, flee from all this. The things he's talked up above about, you know, the love of money and all this other kind of stuff. Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. You have to pursue these things. We're going to enter into a realm as we move forward through the rest of this year on until Yeshua returns where we have got to have a hunger and a thirst after the things of God, and we've got to actively pursue them because you've got something that is pursuing you and it's not good. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Say fight.
Fight.
Turn to your neighbor and say fight.
Fight.
Now turn to them again and say fight like you mean it. Come on, fight, fight. Amen. We got to step up into warrior class. We got a devil who's very serious about stealing from you every blessing of God. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Yeshua who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Yeshua, which God will bring about in His own time. Now listen to this next phrase. God, the blessed and only ruler. Come on, this is God's title here. God, who are we talking about? We just sang to Abba. We sang to Yahweh. He is God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, my question to you to start this morning is, who are the kings that He's Lord over? See, I always heard that going to a church that He's king over the Queen of England. He's king over the King of Belgium. You know, and as our world moves on, there's fewer and fewer kings. Come on. And He's Lord over lords. And I thought, well, let's go back to Sir Arthur and the Round Table and the lords and the knights. And he's king over, He's Lord over those, but I don't know any lords in my personal life. He's King of kings and lords over them, but that's not at all what the Bible says. He's King of kings and Lord over lords because we're going to find out today you are the kings that He's Lord over. You and I are meant to be kings and priests in the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God. Turn to Psalm 8. Before I get to make you a king, I got you to see who you are. Turn to Psalm 8. You know, tell your mind you got to change. You got to change from stinking to thinking to God's thinking. Amen. You got to renew your mind according to what the Word of God says about you. My. Psalm 8. Are you there? Verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him, man. I'm reading from the NIV, and it says, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, but I have a footnote in the NIV that says, or than God. Now, if you read the King James Version, you're really going to get messed up. And my whole theology as a young man grew up on King James English, and I missed a lot. Because King James says, thou hast made him a little lower than angels. But the word is Elohim. Look it up. You've made man just a little bit lower than Elohim, which is translated over 2,000 times in the Hebrew Bible as God. Somebody didn't have the courage to translate it because it didn't match their theology. Oh, there's God, and there's angels, and then there's demons, and somewhere we finally arrive at us poor, puny little human beings. And yet Genesis says God created us in His image. If He wanted something lower than the angels, why didn't He let the angels create it? He needed something angels could not create. He needed something that angels or no demon were ever meant to rule over. And Psalm 8 captures it. He made man a little lower than Elohim. So if you turn to the Amplified Bible, it says you have made him but a little lower, but just a little lower than God. The New Living Testament says you made them only a little lower than God. The American Standard Version says, for thou hast made him but little lower than God. The Contemporary English Version says, you made us a little lower than you yourself. Come on, church. You begin to see who you are and whose you are, then you can act differently. But if you don't see it, you can't live it. And so when the Bible comes to talk about the fact that God is King of kings, Lord of lords, and we're going to find out that you're a king, how on earth are you going to be a king with a lousy self-image? Come on, you got a TV on and you're watching some religious program and that preacher dumps all over you and tells you you're worthless and nothing, turn it off right away. I don't care who he or she is. God says you're special. God says you're so valuable that He sent His only Son to die for you. That's how valuable you are. God didn't offer His Son for junk. You're not junk. You're not trash. I don't care if He found you in the bar. I don't care if He found you in the house of prostitution. I don't care if He found you as a drug addict. I don't care if He found you as a liar and a thief. Wherever He found you, you were valuable enough that He reached down and said, I love you, I value you, and I'm going to call life out of you. And we got to come to a point where that rises up in us, where we are just tired, we're done with the devil speaking about who we're not. We're going to tell him who we are. The Bible says, God says, you are valuable to Him. You have value, not your mama, not your dad, not your aunts, your uncles, not your brother, not your boss, not your neighbor, not the negative atheist, not the professor who thinks he's got all the answers. God says you are valuable to Him. And He calls you when you get born again a child of His. He calls you a son, a daughter of the Most High. He calls you a king and a priest. He assigned you as an ambassador. You once were nobody, says the scripture, but now you are somebody. You once had no hope, now you have hope. You once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You are a somebody going somewhere to make something happen for God. Whoa, my goodness, you ought to be out of your chairs by now. Hey, glory to God. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. God made you just a little bit lower than Himself. My goodness, angels are not above you. Demons are not above you. No man is to be above you. You have one King. You have one King. Amen. He is King of kings. Revelation chapter 20. My. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whoa. Verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. The second death has no power over them. But they will... How many of you know this is talking about you if you're a believer? But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. They will reign with Him. Let me ask you, what do you call somebody who reigns? You call them a king. You don't call them a servant. You don't call them a slave. You don't call them a second-class citizen. You and I are destined to reign with Christ, with Him, joint heirs, not sub-heirs, not a lesser heir, but a joint heir. Everything Yeshua has, you have. Everything He has a right to claim, you have a right to claim. Everything Abba gave Yeshua, He has given you. Equal heirs, joint heirs, and you will reign with Him. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Getting near the end of the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, verse 3. No longer will there be any curse, speaking of the future. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face. Anybody sing with us today? Come on. Lord, I want to see Your face. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they, and you, and me will reign forever and ever. We are to be kings and priests, to reign and rule, not to be a little cork bobbed around in life when everyone else is making decisions for you. But we are to be the decision makers. Can you say amen to that? Turn back to Revelation chapter 5. I got to get the picture in you first of what the Word teaches, and then I'm going to explain how it works. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song. And here's the new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Praise to God, because He gathered from every nation and every tribe, men and women, so that we can reign, not in the future, but on earth. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. You're just going to have to start upping the ante to keep up with me here. My. Amplified Bible says, and you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth. Come on, not pastor gets to reign as a king. Not Miss Donna gets to reign as a king. They, all of us, are to be kings. Kings have things subject to them. They are not subject to the rest. Listen, when I was working in corporate America, I was a king in there. It doesn't make any difference what their organization chart says. It doesn't make any difference that there's a CEO and vice presidents and senior vice presidents and then little vice presidents and then senior man. It doesn't make any difference where my name was on that chart. I was a king of God in the midst of that. And therefore, I was destined to reign and rule over anything my hand touched in that environment. Glory to God. Listen, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to give you one more verse, and then we're going to explode on it as if we haven't already. Romans 5. Romans 5. Verse 17, for if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, that's Adam, how much more, say more, will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness, how much more, if death reigned through Adam, how much more will those of us in Christ, look at the words there, reign in life. Reign in life. Reign in life. We're not talking about just the future. We're talking about our destiny and call right here and now is to hold our heads high and to walk as kings, as queens, as rulers over all the forces of darkness in this world. That's who we're meant to be. What is a king? I looked up the definition. You knew I did that. Listen to this from the dictionary. A king is a man or woman who holds by life tenure and usually by hereditary right the chief authority over a country or a people. A king is one who has for his entire life or her entire life the authority over a country or a people. It's not an election. Come on. The devil can run to the courts of heaven and bring your name before our Abba and say, well, I don't think she's qualified. I don't think he's qualified, but the Bible says he has qualified us. Go look that up. I believe it's in Thessalonians. He has qualified us. What gives you the right to step into this position? What are your qualifications? My God qualified me. I didn't qualify me. Going to school didn't qualify me. Come on, going to seminary, going to Bible school, you know, going to anything, that didn't qualify me. God qualified me for the office. God qualified you. God qualified you. A king has a life tenure. Can't take it away from you. You may not act it. You may let other people override it. You may let people seize your kingdom. That's your fault. Because you're always a king. You're always a king. Amen? The second definition of king is this. One that is supreme or preeminent in a particular group, category, or sphere. Come on, grab hold of this. One who is supreme or preeminent in a particular group, category, or sphere. Come on. The king of Belgium cannot walk into the United States and act as a king over us. This isn't his sphere, his place of influence. But in his country, he is a king and he can act that way. What is the sphere of influence that God has given to you? Come on. Hello. Any city in which you dwell, you are a king in that city. Any business where you go to labor and you're an employee, you are a king over that sphere of influence. You're a king, meant to be a king, over the influence of the people around you, of your friend, your neighbors, and your family. Interesting, the word origin, from which we get the word king, originally meant a leader of the people, or it was from a related root suggesting a noble birth, making a king originally one who descended from noble birth. Who do you think your Abba is? Come on, you're born again, a brand new creation, one that never existed. Quit looking at yourself as the product of a biological mom and dad. Come on. Allison Glenn Long birthed me a body, a house in which I dwell. But the one who dwells in it now is not the one they birthed. The spirit man they birthed, because if you didn't have a spirit man, there's no life. Take the spirit out of your body and we're going to find out just how much life isn't in that body. Amen? The spirit is what gives you life. So I was born, but the spirit child that was born isn't here. That spirit man's gone. The Bible says he died. I really died. Oh, I thought you really died. I really died. I really died. And the old man. And here I am. Huh? Come on, John chapter 1. Born not of the flesh, not of a parent's will, but born of the Spirit, therefore you are a child of God. You have noble birth. Noble birth. Noble birth. I don't care if the world says you were born on the wrong side of the tracks. Huh? When you got born again, you're born on heavenly tracks. You're not even of this world. Come on, you're not even of this world. Do you believe there's life on other planets? Yes, I'm here. Come on, I don't come from this planet. Come on, folks, don't get bizarre now. Just, is that not what the world says? You are aliens in this world. Huh? You're aliens in this world. That's why you don't feel totally comfortable in your temple, in your body. Glory to God. Amen. That's why when you go out of here, you're going to end up with a new resurrected body. It'll look like you, but it won't feel like you. Glory to God. It'll have, we just read it, His blood throwing through our veins. We'll have blood in that body, but it... The DNA of that blood is going to be Abba's. You won't ever get tired. Come on, your body's not going to ache. It's not going to have a twitch. Your body's exactly going to do what the spirit man tells it to do without any thought otherwise. My. You got to stay with me. Listen to this. A king is someone who is supreme or preeminent in a particular group. Amen? We are meant to walk around as kings in this world. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel's a good book to read because he saw things coming in our future. Daniel was prophesying things you and I are going to see. Yep, the scrolls he shut up are definitely open. Daniel chapter 7, verse 26. He's speaking about the four beasts that he's seen and interpreting the dream. Verse 26. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven... Get the picture here. Satanic kingdoms have their power taken away from them, and the sovereignty and the power and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven. Okay, get the picture. Daniel's seen all the kingdoms of the world, all the nations of the world, the kingdom of the United States, the kingdom of Massachusetts, the kingdom of Fitchburg, the kingdom of Ashburnham. He's seen all the kingdoms of the world, okay? Will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. The contemporary Jewish Bible says this, then the kingdom, the rulership, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. Their kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will serve and obey them. Come on. The Message Bible says this. Then the royal rule and authority and the glory of all the kingdoms of heaven will be handed over to the people of the high God. Their royal rule will last forever. All other rulers will serve and obey them. Donna was praying today, both before we got into worship and afterwards, and she prayed that passage out of Exodus. Remember when Joseph, anybody remember Joseph, was cast into prison? What was he? He was a nothing. He was a Hebrew slave. Huh? He thought he was rising up, and then he got trapped by, you know, Potiphar's wife, and unfair accusations were made, and he ended up in prison, and it looked like all is lost. He's now even deeper in the dungeons, and he was transferred from dungeon to the second highest position in Egypt in one night. You are one decision away from people around you recognizing you're God's man and women. You can be in the workplace, and if you'll learn to walk in your work environment, listening to the Holy Spirit, there can be a situation that comes up, and you say, not because it's out of your head, you say out of your spirit, here's what needs to be done. Not here's what I think needs to be done. I have a suggestion. No, you will speak as a king and a priest, and you'll say, here's what needs to be done, and there will be an answer that comes out of your mouth that will bring you instant promotion and reward. That's how you and I are supposed to live. If we don't live that way, it's not going to happen. If we don't get ourselves trained to be kings, then we're not going to act like kings in that point. But that's what we're meant to be, is to have those instant answers where God by the Holy Spirit will give you revelation knowledge. Their royal rule will last forever. All other rulers will serve and obey them. And so Joseph is promoted to that. And the next time, as he's going through the city, he's got runners in front of him. He would be in his chariot. And they'd be leading in chariot. And in front of him are running the men with their spears. And guess what they're saying to all the people? Bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee. And the people there, they don't need to know who. The very fact that here comes the runners, the king's men, you know, with their spears and their shine, bow the knee. They know that it must be Pharaoh or someone like Pharaoh. And they don't look when they hear bow the knee. They're down on their knee with their head to the ground. I'm sure they're glancing up, you know. Who was that? Do you know who that was? I don't know. I heard there's a new man second to Pharaoh only in Egypt. That must be him. Huh? They don't think. Come on. They don't think. They don't debate. They fall down on their knee. Come on. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Smith Wigglesworth walking through a train in England. And as he's just walking, praising God through the corridor, a Catholic priest sitting in a bench in that train falls out on the floor on his knees right in front of him and says, I don't know who you are, man, but you need to pray for me. You convict me of my sin. He didn't say a word. You and I are to learn how to walk in such a way that every demon from hell bows its knee in front of us. Come on. We don't want to be like those seven sons of Sceva, where the devil says, oh, Yeshua I know, and Paul I know. Who are you? And tear you apart. Those demons knew Yeshua. They knew Paul. They knew Peter. They know Donna. They know who you are. They're hoping you don't know who you are. When you start walking in the authority of a king, you know, you don't need to get angry. You know, when you know you're a king, you don't say, well, I'm the king. Come on, what are you doing? You know, excuse me. When you know you're the king, you just look at somebody. Because you know that if they don't bow the knee, they're dead. And you won't be the one that slays them. Come on, I'm the king. If I'm the king, you know, if I'm the president of the United States, I'm not going to be walking in crowds looking for snipers. That's not my job. I've got Secret Service men to do that. And if you so much as raise a gun at me, come on. I was in a meeting one time, and this after this meeting, this man came up. And he was standing in front, and he was very angry. I sure tapped into some spirit in him. and I'm there, and he starts by asking questions and then disputing with me, and he's getting heated, and I'm just giving him answers, but I'm giving him the word. And you know what happens when light shines in the face of darkness? Darkness gets upset, and he's really getting agitated. And I reached over and I said to him, I knew not to touch him, by the way. I knew that if I touch this guy, he's going to go ballistic. And I'm looking at him, and I said, you know, I think we need to end this conversation. He said, why? I said, because standing behind you are two of my ushers, and they're about one sentence from tearing you apart. He looked around, and I said, no, they're Christians. They're not going to do that, but they're fighting their flesh, because what you're saying to me is getting them very angry to protect me. And they're just looking for an excuse, and should you so much as look like you're going to suddenly manhandle me, you know, I can't guarantee your safety. And then his eyes got like that, and he turned around and left. You know, but see, when I was in that ministry, in all kinds of weird things that they would have, I had well-trained ushers. I was never concerned. You know, I got angels around me. Come on. Excuse me, either believe that or you don't. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. The king is not the one who has to say bow the knee. King is not one who has to say, do you know who I am? Excuse me, you don't know. You don't know who you are when you have to say that. Do you know who I am? I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a deacon, I'm a pastor, I'm a son of God. Well, you know, when that starts coming out of you, you don't know it. Because when you know it, it doesn't make any difference. Amen? I was in a church years ago when I was in the denomination. We got talking about a decision that my community minister made. When you're doing community ministries, you do radical things. And if you're in a traditional church, that gets people upset. And we're sitting at a leadership meeting of the trustees of the church. And they get talking about it. And one of the men says, I think we need to fire him. And I said, well, sir, you really can't fire him because we're a congregational church and this board of trustees has no authority to fire. The congregation has to do that. And he glared at me. He said, Mr. Long, I think we can fire you. I was there like 6 weeks when this happened. Brand new church. How do you like to... 6 weeks into the church, you're having this kind of conversation. And I remember just looking at him very calmly. I said, then fire away. If you think you have that authority, then fire me right now because this discussion is either over or you fire me, one or the other. He sputtered and, you know, 1 month later I was still there and he wasn't, you know. But see, I knew who I was. I knew he was angry, you know, but it's like, he had no authority over me. And because I knew that, why was I intimidated? Come on. When you settle it that you work for God, no boss at any company is ever going to threaten to fire you and it's going to bother you. Excuse me. You're lost. Amen. Come on. You see, when you know who you are, those things shouldn't even impact you. I told you the story how in my next to last job in a company after being there for 16 years, I got in a job that was a mismatch. Anybody know what a mismatch job is? And it was the only job in the entire time that God didn't select for me and I didn't select for me. Someone else picked it out for me. You know, so you know what that's set up for. And the guy I was working for wanted me to do something that no one else could do in that entire company. They had a whole team to do it. And it was their responsibility, but he asked me from within my team to do what they couldn't do. And I told him that. He said, well, I'm going to put it on your goal sheet. Well, fine. I went around and did my job the rest of the year, but I didn't even look at that goal because it's not an achievable goal. And so at the end, he said, you did this good, but you didn't do anything on this, so I'm going to give you the lowest rating in the company. I went from having the highest and second highest ratings my entire career to suddenly looking at the lowest rating, which means I'm about 3 months from being fired. You know? And I looked at, you know, when I saw, I'm thinking, well, he painted himself into a corner. That's where something else is going on, politics, you know, maybe they want to get rid of people. And so, you know, but it's like I didn't have one inch of concern in me, you know. I didn't feel like I needed to defend myself. Why? Because I'm on assignment from God. I'm on assignment from God. So, God, you got an answer. So I said, well, you know, I mean, if that's the way you see it, that's the way you got to call the shot. That's what you got. He thought I was going to get angry. So why would I get angry? I know who I am. Huh? And so I left there and just said, God, what's the answer? And he opened a door for me, and I ended my career there with the best job I could have ever had in the entire 18 years, right up at the top of the corporation. It was like, bingo. That was the most fun job I had. It was really great. You know? But see, if I'd gotten angry, if I'd called, well, you know what he did to me? Oh, man, open your door and let the devil run all over your life and steal your future. See, you got to know who you are. You're a king. You're a queen. You're meant to reign. Bow the knee. You got to have that attitude. Bow the knee. You're in the middle of a situation. Don't deal with it. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers. You just look at that person and it's giving you grief, and you just say, I'm not going to speak to the person. I'm going to speak to that demon. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Bow the knee before this child of God. Bow the knee before this child of God. Amen? You walk in places people ought to respond to you. You know, I mean, if you're walking in a place and all around you, you know, people don't respect you, then you don't know who you are. Well, you know, they swear all the time around me and they cuss and they do this, and you don't know who you are. Because if you know who you are, you command that spirit and it stops. In fact, you don't even need to command it if you know who you are. Come on. I mean, people who swear out there know not to swear in church. You know, they don't swear in church. Well, then what's the difference? Well, I'm in a holy building. Well, you're in a holy presence when you're with me. I convey that. When Jordan went to test for those 2 weeks, she knows there was like 7 guys and 33 girls in this 2-week class there, all out of high school. And she said, Dad, it was interesting. I said, remember who you are. She dressed who she is. She didn't change. She walked who she was. And she said, Dad, you know, the boys opened the door for me, and they punched the other girls. They wrestled, bam, 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 with it. They treat the other girls like buddies. But whenever Jordan would show up at a door, they'd hold the door for her. You know, absolutely amazing. And one of them, yes, can I get salad dressing for you? I mean, like, they're servants. They became servants of a daughter of God because she knew who she was and walked it out. Are you still with me? So Daniel says that their royal rule will last forever. All other rulers will serve and obey them. So I want to teach you how to rule as a king. Okay? I want to teach you. You got to learn these. You got to practice it. Come on, church. Don't just get a spiritual lesson and say, oh, wasn't that really great today, and go home. You got to put these things into practice, and that means you got to practice them. Practice standing tall. Practice speaking boldly. Stand in front of a mirror if you have to. Practice dressing sharp. Number one, kings always show up with an entourage. Kings don't go around by themselves. Presidents don't either. Most CEOs of companies don't. Huh? I saw a very funny incident one time. This guy was on his way out. His secretary had made his reservation. She had all his presentations for him, and he was going to go get on the... This is back in digital days when they had a helicopter. So you go down and you get in the helicopter in Marlboro, and it's going to helicopter you to Boston. You're going to get on a plane and go. And as he's headed toward the helicopter, he says to a secretary, where am I going? I mean, his bag was packed, his presentations were ready, but in the midst of everything in his life, where am I going? You know, you're going to Miami and you're meeting with this group there. Oh, okay. You know, and it's like his entourage was around taking care of him. President Eisenhower, when he retired from the presidency to Gettysburg, his farm in Gettysburg, he walks into his farm the first day in this new place, and he has an aide there, and he walks over to make a phone call, and he says to the aide, can you tell me how to use this? He did not know how to use a modern telephone, because since he was a general in World War II, he had never in his life placed a phone call. He just turned to somebody, get so-and-so on the phone for me, get so-and-so on the phone for me, get so-and-so on. He never, you know, imagine somebody like that. And then you say, here's a cell phone. What do I do with it? You know, it's like if you don't use it, other people are always doing that for you. Amen? Kings show up with an entourage. 2 Kings chapter 6, you don't need to look it up. It's where Elijah and his servant are there and surrounded by the armies. 2 Kings 6:16. Elijah says this, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Come on. Elijah says, I'm not just a prophet sitting here. Oh, woe is me. I've got an entourage with me. And that entourage exists in a realm that is not visible to you, but they will defend me in the realm in which you live. Read through the Bible. How many times armies killed each other? People turned on each other. They heard the sound of an army. Oh, they hear a sound. Oh, no, and they panic. It's the sound coming from that other dimension, from those who are your entourage. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. You getting anything out of this? Come on, the kingdom of heaven is here and now, but you've got to therefore learn how to be a king. You've got to learn that you've got an entourage. You've got to start showing up with it. Hebrews chapter 1. If you're there, say I'm there. Jump down to verse 14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? All angels are ministering spirits to serve you. To serve you. I'm preparing to do Lessons from a Horse Breeder number 2. But I'll give you a sneak preview. You know, when Jordan was having lessons a couple weeks ago up there by one of the top trainers in the United States, and at one point he kept saying to her, let the horse do the work. You just give the signal, but you don't, they're not listening to me. See, you don't drive the horse. You train the horse so that at your slightest signal, it listens to you, and the horse does the work. One of the other women who was giving her a lesson up there said, Jordan, you don't put the horse in a wheelbarrow and push him around. See, riding is meant to be fun. Huh? Is there work to learn? Yes. Do you have to learn? Do you have to discipline? Yeah. But it's meant to be fun. Being a Christian is meant to be fun. Well, I'm just working on my faith, Pastor. I'm in the midst of the battle. Excuse me. I'm in the midst of the battle and the enemy's running. Come on. Come on. Amen. Oh, you have ministering angels. I show up with an entourage. Now watch this. Ooh. Don't dismiss your entourage. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, what dismisses my entourage? Any negative word out of your mouth. My God meets all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And there are financial needs in my life. I'm a tither and an offering giver, and I believe that my God is meeting those needs. Now, ministering angels, you go out and you gather those finances and you bring them in. That's your job, not my job. Your job is to bring into this king, what's due this king. And so you've got an assignment. You've got to go scout it out. You've got to open doors for me so that when I show at the open door, boom, it opens up. I step through. There's my new job. There's whatever. But you angels, you go out and make all that stuff happen. And your angels are running out to do that. And suddenly they have a new opportunity for you. They've went out and they've worked and they've created a new open door for a job, or they've created a new open door for financial blessing, and they've got it and they're excited. Oh man, they're bringing your blessing to you. And as they start to walk in the room, you say to someone next to you, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to get ahead. Bingo, your angel stops, folds her wings, stands there. Now they won't work against you. So they're just going to stand there. Huh? They're servants that you dismissed. We have been dismissing the servants of God and failing to dismiss the servants of Satan. And by the way, before we finish today, we're going to do some dismissing in this place. All right, so kings show up with an entourage. Joseph showed up with an entourage. When you show up, you've got somebody with you. Glory to God. Number 2, kings don't ask, they decree. Kings don't ask, they decree. Turn to the book of Job. You say, Pastor, I think I've known you for many years and never heard you read from the book of Job. I do once in a while. Job chapter 22, right before the book of Psalms, very easy to find. Kings don't ask, they decree. Job 22, let's begin at verse 21. If you're there, say I'm there. Verse 21, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. Boy, I would just love to jump on that and preach a whole message on it. Circle it. You didn't know that was in Job. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove wickedness far from your tent and assign your nuggets to the dust, your gold of Ophir to the rocks and the ravens, then the Almighty will be your gold. The choice is silver for you. Surely then, you will find delight in the Almighty and will lift up your face to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows. Verse 28, what you decide on will be done. What you decide on will be done. What you decide on will be done. And light will shine on your way. The Amplified says for that verse 28, you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. Kings decree. We don't ask. Where do we ever get this attitude that when we come in prayer to God, that we beg? Oh, please, God, please, God. Oh, please, God, please, God. Oh, please, I need. Please, God, please, God. Excuse me. You ask, you know you receive, and then you decree it. You decree it. We are to be speaking spirits who decree a thing, and we are to decree the end from the beginning. In fact, that's what you're doing. So all I would have to do is put a tape recorder on you and then come in the week and listen to it, and I could predict your future. You're absolutely framing your future with your words. Huh? So I could come in, you give me your tape, I go in the office, I listen to it, and I say, here's what's going to happen to you. This is going to fail. This isn't going to work. Eventually, you're going to have this sickness because you're always saying, you know, well, my parents had this sickness. It must be generational. I think I'll have it. See, you're decreeing things. Amen? Glory to God. Well, what am I supposed to say? I found myself a while ago saying, I'm tired. I'm tired. You know what I got? More tired. Dumb. I mean, I know these things. That's why you need a partner in life to slap your face. It's true. That's what wives are for, guys. I mean, and if you're not married, find yourself another partner to slap you in the mouth. You know, it's like, I'm decreeing tired. Well, what are you supposed to say if your body's tired? Let the weak say, I am strong. That's what the Bible says. I don't feel strong. It didn't say you felt strong. It says, well, if you're weak, say it. It doesn't say anything about feelings. Why are we talking feelings? We talk feelings and we paint ourselves into a corner. Every one of us, top to bottom. My goodness. You shall decide and decree a thing. Kings decree. I have a right to decree things. Well, who are you to say that? Because I'm a king. I'm a king. Amen. I looked up the word decree. As a verb, it means to command, ordain, establish, or decide by a decree. To command something. To ordain it. Never, ever, ever pray to the Father to remove the oppression from you. Learn that from Paul's experience. I went to God 3 times and said, remove this from me. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, what I gave you is enough power. You stand up, Paul. You speak to that demon. You bind him. You take authority over it. Don't come running to me. You're a king. You decree it. You decide it. You command things out of your life, and you command things into your life. When the king says to his servants, listen, I want, you know, so-and-so who lives in that town over there to be in my court tomorrow. He commands it. They make sure it happens. Huh? And when somebody walks in and says, I command him out of here, do you think somebody stays in the presence of a king? Huh? But who gets him out of there? Not the king. I'm going to get you out of my life. Mm-mm. No, he commands, and his ministering servants kick him out. Oh, my. Read between the lines, people. My. So as a verb, decree means to command, ordain, or establish. As a noun, It is an authoritative order having the force of law. It is an authoritative order. Read through the Old Testament. The king issued a decree. The king issued a decree. Look up the word decree. It's all over the place. The king issues a decree. What is a decree? It has the force of a law. You're a king. What kind of decrees are you issuing? Huh? The devil will not have hold on the children of my family. Remember when Mary Frances told about her daughter who got messed up in drugs and everything like that? And she'd come home and she'd be drunk or high or something like that. Come into their night. I mean, you can have a big mansion living in a big place, and she sure did. Nice, all the money and everything. But comes in, and Mary Frances would go out on her back porch. And she'd open the door, didn't care how daytime or nighttime or the middle of the morning. She'd open that door and stand on her porch and she'd go, I have covenant. I've got a covenant over that daughter. And then she didn't call people. Well, you know, she was high again last night. No, I've got a covenant. All is well. Why? How can you say all is well? Because I have a covenant. Like the widow woman whose son died. Didn't even tell her husband. Takes that dead boy, lays him out in the prophet's bed upstairs, and she says to her servant, saddle the donkey, don't be slow, we're going to go off to the prophet. Comes out and her husband says, is everything okay? She says, all is well. All is well? The boy is dead in the bed. All is well. All, she's decreeing and declaring the end. She's not even going to her husband and saying, we got to pray because he's dead. Well, then you would have said, no. Man, she locked on. She says, I know the man who has the answer to this. It's the prophet God put in my life, and I'm not going to utter a word until I'm in front of the prophet. She wouldn't utter it to her husband. He gets there. The prophet sees her come and sends a servant out. Oh, I can tell she's in distress. Run. The servant runs up. Woman, woman, is everything okay? What's wrong? She, all is well. And then when she came to the prophet, she didn't even say to the prophet, my son died. Can't you do something? He said, what's the matter? She said, didn't you proclaim that there'd be a long life? And he knew right away what had happened. I'm here, prophet of God, because you have the answer. But even when I'm coming for the answer, I'm not going to pour out and give the devil words out of my mouth that give him authority. My, my, my. Come on, church. You're a king. You're a king. You're meant to decree something. What are you decreeing and what are you saying? Number three. Kings bind and loose. You know the verse, Matthew 18:18. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The Jewish Bible says, I tell you people that whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Kings have the authority to permit or not to permit. Everything that's going on in your life that is not of God, you have permitted. I'm just holding a mirror up to you. By the way, that's a mirror in my life. You know? Come on. I'm the pastor. The anointing of God makes the word flow. But when I walk out that door, I have decisions to make on what I'm going to live. I'm no more anointed to live it than you're not anointed to live it. You live it by making right decisions. And if you make wrong decisions, I don't care who you are, then you get wrong results. By the way, if you're getting wrong results, repent. Get your eyes in the Word. Get your eyes on the things you know. And find out how the devil got in. But you have the authority to permit or not permit. Amen? I have control over how I react to you. Well, they just make me so mad. No, they don't make you mad. You allowed yourself to be mad. No one else is in control of your feelings. Huh? But see, if I come and you say things and it gets me angry and I get angry, I have just surrendered my power to you. Excuse me. Amen? We're to be kings who have the authority to permit or not permit. I won't allow it. Glory to God. Number four, you still with me? Kings have authority and power to deal with evil. Kings have authority and power to deal with evil. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease. He gave them that. He gave them that. They didn't have it in themselves. He gave them authority, and they went out and used that authority, and it was effective. But the word authority there is the Greek word exousia, and it means authority, power to act, control, and dominion. If I give you authority to go to the store and buy something, and I give you my credit card or the church's credit card and say, go use it, and you have authority to use it, and you come back and I say, well, where's the thing? Well, you know, I just didn't think I should do that. I didn't know that I could do that. Wait a minute, I gave you the card, I gave you the authority, but you've got to use it. If you don't use it, amen? Use it or lose it. My. And in Matthew 28, verse 18, you know this one, Yeshua at the end of his life said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. Now, what did he just say? Therefore go and make disciples. Wait a minute. All the authority has been given to me. I'm there. You know, Lisa's ready to buy some food for Shabbat. Okay? And I say, all the money for Shabbat has been given to me. Who's got it? I do. Okay? So out of the church account, the money is given to me for Shabbat. All the money for Shabbat's been given to me. Now, I give it to her and say, you go and buy the food. Now who has the money? And who has the authority to spend it? It's out of my hands. You know? If she came and said, calls me on the phone, well, Pastor, what should I do? What do you mean what you do? I gave you the authority to spend it and I gave you the money. Don't be asking me. Amen. Well, should I be this or that? No, you make the decisions. Here, it's yours. You have the authority. Yeshua said, all the authority in heaven and earth, all the power, all the right to command in heaven and earth is his. Now I give it to you and you go out. The Message Bible captures that a little more clearly when he writes it this way. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. You're under a commission. Did you follow that? Okay. Kings show up with an entourage. They don't ask, they decree. They bind and loose. They have authority and power to deal with evil. Now, one of the things that kings have that power is to dismiss assignments. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, last verse we're going to look at. Of what's about to come upon the earth. Remember, the Bible says that in the end times, the hearts of men will fail them because of the overwhelming events that are happening. That's a description of heart attacks. Heart fails, okay? And he says, do not be afraid of what's about to happen. If you read it in the Amplified Bible, listen to this, church. Fear nothing that you are about to suffer. Dismiss your dread and your fears. Dismiss them. Well, what did you do with that accusation? I dismissed it. What did you do with what somebody said about you? Dismissed it. Brother Copeland was once asked, you know, have you read what people say about you in the newspapers? He said, why should I do that? He said, tomorrow morning, that paper is going to be at the bottom of the bird cage. Think about it. Why am I getting all upset? I had a pastor's daughter years ago, and when I first began in ministry, and she, as a very young pastor, she gave me this word of advice. I got worked up in a meeting about some issue. And she pulled me aside, and she said, Pastor, she says, here's what my dad always taught me. When there's an issue that's got you stirred up, ask this question. Is this going to make a difference a year from now? If the answer is yes, then fight for all you've got. If the answer is no, let it go. We were in a meeting a few months after that, and something came up, and again, I was getting stirred up about it, and I looked at her, and she looked at me and smiled, and then I looked back at her, and I smiled, and I said, it's not going to make a difference 2 weeks from now, let alone a year from now. I mean, it's like, you know, I was all stirred up over something that, you know. We got to learn to dismiss things, but especially we've got to learn to dismiss assignments. 1 John 4:4, look it up sometime. You need to have this one underlined, circled, and starred in your Bible. The one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. The one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. That's the truth. Now watch this. We're coming up to Yom Kippur. We have what, three weeks? And we'll be at Yom Kippur. And every Yom Kippur, we have a service where we write down on paper all the, you know, as Paul says, the things I want to do, I didn't do, and the things I should have done, I didn't do, things I did that I shouldn't have done. I mean, I just want to have clean accounts with God. We write it all down, and at the end of the service, what do? We go out to the fire pit out there, and we burn it and put it back in the pit of hell where it belongs. Amen? Well, watch this. Have any of you found that you burn things up, but they're still there? If you find that you repent and it's back there, it's because there are assignments over your life. There are spirits that have been assigned to you. Come on. That shouldn't freak you out. I mean, come on. God has ministering angels assigned to you. Well, don't you think the devil is equally alert to who you are? You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, but you're surrounded by a great cloud of demons who want to trip you up, and it's the same thing they keep bringing you over and over again. There are assignments against you that need to be broken. Before you can come into Yom Kippur and say, oh, I'm going to get rid of these sins, we need to break some assignments. We need to break assignments. Amen? Sometimes they're generational assignments. Gee, you know, I'm just like my dad, just like my dad's dad. I mean, my grandfather had a terrible relationship with my father. My father had a terrible relationship with me. I turn around and I'm having a terrible relationship with my son. Durr. Come on. That's a satanic spirit who's been assigned against that generation of men, and we need to dismiss it from its assignment. Well, who can dismiss it? Anybody who knows they're a king and has jurisdiction. Man off a street can't dismiss it. And some other king can't dismiss it unless you yield authority to him. Amen? I can dismiss assignments in my family because it's my family. Donna and I can dismiss assignments in our family because you're our family. Remember what I told you, I've been teaching you over the years, why it is so important to know who your pastor is? Huh? That's a covering. Pastor Jonathan is my covering. He covers me. Amen? He has legal authority in areas of my life because I've bowed the knee of my submission to him as my pastor. That's not so he can lord it over me. I know he would never do that. He loves me. It's so he can protect me. He can exercise by speaking and decreeing and declaring things over my life, he can get in the battle with me. Amen? And so as a king, as a queen, as a king in your own kingdom, you have a right to dismiss assignments against yourself as they come to you, as the Holy Spirit says, you know, this is running in your family. I see it. You ever go to the doctor and he says, all right, what kind of diseases run in your family? You know, and it's like, well, this one here and this one here and this one here and this one here. You know, I don't even fill those out anymore. Because, see, I'm not of that family. Come on, I'm not of that family. So I don't even talk to them about the things that the Long family had challenges with. That's too bad they had challenges with it. But, see, I severed those assignments, and I walk in the family of Yeshua. And guess what? He has no genetic diseases that he passes on. Come on, come on. Well, you know, nobody in our family got ahead. You better dismiss the assignment of that stinking, thinking devil who's telling what you can't do and can't be. Come on. You can be in families where everybody got divorced in your family. There's a spirit there. I bought some land years ago in Winchendon and found out the previous 7 owners had gone bankrupt, or 3 owners or whatever it was. They'd all gone bankrupt. Man, when I found that out, I went out of my house with my Bible in hand. I walked the perimeters of my land. You know, binding that spirit of bankruptcy off me, getting it off the land, speaking prosperity into that land, speaking that my land prospers. When I live in this land, I prosper. I had to dismiss the assignment against that land. You may move into a house where there's been demonic activity, and so those demons are there. They gave us legal right to be here. They did. Come on, if people are doing occult things in that house, those demons have a legal right to be in there. But I'm a king. And when I purchase that house, I said, when I purchase that house, it's my house. It's now under new management. I don't care what the rules were. Well, you know, I was employed by the previous owner. I dismiss you from your employment. I dismiss you. What gives you the right? I'm the king now. I'm the king of this house. I can dismiss assignments. Amen. Glory to God. Are you plugging into this? Amen. We got to get ready to be able to step into an arena where when we confess and repent, it doesn't come back. Remember when Yeshua said a demon got cast out of a person, but nothing was put in. And so seven demons came back, and the condition afterwards was worse than before the deliverance. Huh? They weren't dealing with the assignments against them. There's a lot of family demonic assignments against people. And that's all it is. I'm not saying your family's demon-possessed. I'm just saying there are demons that hang around. Though, like I say, if you start poking around, it's amazing. Well, I don't know, but I found out my mom used to go to a fortune teller, or my grandmother, you know, she used to look at the Ouija board. Or, you know, I mean, come on. I've never failed to find where the entrance point was if I looked. Oh, well, but my family was involved in an Eastern Star, a Demolé, or the Masons and all that. That's pure satanic. And I'll say that for the TV audience. That's pure satanic. And if you got letters about it, come and see me. It is right out of the pit of hell. It's right out of the pit of hell in the guise of good religion. Amen? But see, if you've got those are spiritual holds. And as one generation dies, where do you think those spirits go? Man, where do you think they go? Huh? You know, when the Bible says that the curses of one generation fall on the next, that wasn't saying that God is holding this generation accountable for the previous one. He's very clear. I hold each generation accountable to its own faith. He's very clear about that. Okay? But the curse falls because the demons behind that curse don't leave. And they just pick up the trail. Amen? Kings decree. And kings declare a thing. And it is so. Can you say amen? Donna, would you come up here? So we haven't had our blessing for the children yet. And so I want the children to come up because I'm going to dismiss assignments over them. And children, I want you to just stand in a little line here. Tim, would you help get the kids lined up, please? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, these are sweet little innocent kids. Oh, they're sweet, but they're not so innocent because they're powerhouses for God. I've seen these young people worship. I've seen them get excited about the Word of God. I've seen them on their faces right here today while we were worshiping. And the devil marks every child that comes in this place as a threat to his kingdom. And the assignments that get stirred up against them come from all other places. They can come from within the public school system. They can come from within family. They can come from generations. They can come from things that have been spoken to them or said over them through the TV or who knows where. But we're going to break assignments over them. Amen? In the name of Yeshua. Father, we thank and praise you for your love for us. And we come and we not only give a blessing from the top of the head to the bottoms of the toe, but we dismiss all assignments against your destiny. Every assignment, every spirit that has an assignment to destroy your destiny, you are dismissed from that assignment now in the name of Yeshua. All assigned assignments against you are dismissed in the name of Yeshua. Every spirit that has an assignment against your life and your purpose, I dismiss you. In the name of Yeshua, you bow your knee and flee. And now, Father, we release blessing in her life from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, appointments with destiny. Satan, in the name of Yeshua, I come against you and dismiss your assignments against this young man. Words that have been spoken, words that have been decreed. I dismiss those assignments. I dismiss you from his thinking, from his mind. I dismiss you from thoughts and pictures. I dismiss you from everything that you've arrayed to steal his destiny in the name of Yeshua. I dismiss those assignments. Be gone in the name of Yeshua. And now, Father, we release blessing. We release the blessing of God into you. Your destiny, your purpose will be fulfilled in the name of Yeshua. Father, I stand in the name of Yeshua against you, spirit of evil. I see you. Words that have been spoken. Visions that have been seen that are not from God. I take authority over you in the name of Yeshua. And I dismiss you. I dismiss this assignment. It is canceled in the name of Yeshua. There is no power left in that assignment. Be gone in the name of Yeshua. And Father, I release blessing. I release blessing in Cameron's life. An appointment with destiny awaits you. And you will cross the threshold of that appointment. And if you will seize it, you will walk in realms that the world has not yet seen. And you will see visions and speak them and decree them by walking in the ways of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Gift of God. Hallelujah. Gift of God. Yes. Gift of God. Gift of God. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I dismiss assignments against this child of God's. I dismiss you, even in your subtle little ways at such a young age, trying to steal destiny and boldness, submission to our Abba by planting in him things you've been assigned to put there. I dismiss that. I dismiss you in the name of Yeshua. And I release blessing. I release blessing. Release the blessing of